Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the sunny but cold suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today on RBN for people who can handle the truth. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com. During the program, either join the chat room, which is at spingola.chatango.com, or you can email comments and questions to spingola1@yahoo.com. You may call in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Peter Eichstadt. His website is petereichstadt.com. The last name is spelled E-I-C-H-S-T-A-E-D-T. His other website is petereichstadt.blogspot.com. I've invited Peter back because initially when I contacted him, he had so many interesting books, I knew that we would not have an opportunity to cover everything that I wanted to cover in just one visit. So, Peter, welcome back to the program.
Well, thanks for having me.
All righty. We were talking, I guess it was last week, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. Before the new year. We were talking about your one book, If You Poison Us, and we had just started to get into it. And I also wanted to talk about your other book, which is called, let's see what it is called. I have it up here, Consuming the Congo, mm-hmm. Because there's just so many issues in that book that are so relevant to the things that are going on in Iraq and Afghanistan. We're talking about rape and pillage and all kinds of terrible things. And so, anyway, that's kind of what I would like to talk about today. And, of course, anything that you want to bring up that you want is good.
All right. Well, great. I appreciate you having me. And, yeah, I was watching with interest there were some stories coming out today about this poor, female young woman who was a women's rights activist in Pakistan who was shot in the head, and the Taliban tried to kill her. She was released from the hospital in London today, or yesterday, I guess it was, and So she's recovered significantly from these wounds, and they were going to let her spend some time with her family as part of the healing process. And what I thought about is it brings up an interesting point that I wrote about in my forthcoming book, which is all about Afghanistan, and it's about the. The title of it is called "Is Above the Din of War," and what it is, it's a focus on what I think is the largest and untold story of Afghanistan, and that's what has happened and what's been done to the people there.
Right.
Most of the reporting and news that flows out of Afghanistan is focused strictly on either the military or the diplomats, and what diplomats have to say or what generals have to say. And this has been a phenomenon that's gone on for the entire time that we've been there.
Right.
And left out of the equation is what's the Afghan people and what they think and what's happened to them.
Well, let's talk about that, too. In fact, let's pick that up on the other side of the break. And that book comes out in April of this year. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor with our guest today, Peter Eichstadt.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5, or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com and now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
$4, $5, $6, even $7 a gallon? According to fuel industry insiders and economic experts, those are the forecasted fuel prices, with no end in sight. Fight back fuel prices with a fuel saver from airfusionsystems.com. These fuel savers can save you from 20 to 40%. They're designed to fit any vehicle, from compacts to SUVs to transport trucks. The fuel saver works on all gas, diesel, even propane engines. Easy do-it-yourself installation in about 15 minutes. And the best part? No engine modifications, no computer chipping, no running wires, no chemicals, no water, no running costs, and no maintenance. And these fuel savers come complete with all parts and accessories. See how it works at airfusionsystems.com, spelled A-I-R-F-U-S-I-O-N, systems.com. Or call 888-887-9981, 888-887-9981. Fuel savers from airfusionsystems.com. Save fuel, save money, save Earth.
Hey, meat eaters. The freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The Freeze-Dry Guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze-Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Websites are PeterEichstad.com and PeterEichstad.blogspot.com. His last name is spelled EichstaedT. Alrighty. So tell us about this, the book, Above the Din of War, Afghans Speak About Their Lives, Their Country, and Their Future, and Why America Should Listen. And that's due to come out April 1st of 2013. So, yeah, let's pick it up there.
Yeah, I you know, what I ultimately argue is that I hate to break the news to people, but that the war there has, except for the fact that we've eliminated Osama bin Laden, the war there has been a virtual failure. And the reason I say that is that we have failed to capture, you know, the phrase is the hearts and minds of the Afghan people.
I don't think we were attempting to capture their hearts and minds. I think that we were attempting to capture all of their resources and kill a bunch of them.
Yeah, well, that's another interesting aspect of it, is that in the final chapters of this book, I explore the fact that the United States has done virtually nothing to take advantage of the vast resources that Afghanistan does have. I mean, it starts from gold and oil and natural gas in the north. There's vast iron ore reserves in the central mountain regions. And one of the last things I did before I left there a year ago was I spent an inordinate amount of time at the site where what's going to be the largest copper mine, or one of the largest copper mines in the world. It's just southeast of Kabul, and it's completely controlled by the Chinese. And what we've ended up doing basically is creating a semi-stable situation there for the Chinese to exploit the resources.
That's interesting. We've done a whole heck of a lot for the Chinese. And you mentioned Osama bin Laden, who really, according to his death record, died in December of 2001, as reported on Fox News and elsewhere all over Europe, and this big charade about killing him. These Navy SEALs went in and supposedly killed him and then dumped him in the ocean is a lot more media tripe, and it appears that most of the people who participated in that operation have either been in an accident and or suicided. So
I wasn't aware of that. That's really interesting.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And, of course, the U.S. government let him escape a couple of times in Afghanistan, and they just used the justification to go into Afghanistan, saying that they were going to capture him. And I think what they have captured is the drug market. They reinstated all the poppy production. They didn't. In fact, they went in when in October of 2003, and they were able to go in quick enough so that they could have a harvest in the spring of 2004.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
no, 2002.
Yeah, I spent some time in the various poppy growing regions, and one of my the year of 2004. In Afghanistan, and then I returned in 2010 and 11 for an extended stay again there. And when I was there in 2004, I visited the poppy growing regions up in the north. And one of the places I went to, my driver took me to we're driving around this small town, and we turned around. He says, "I want to show you something." And we turned around a corner and drove into this giant poppy field, and it was in the middle of the town, and it was surrounded by a high mud wall, so you couldn't see over it unless you knew how to get in. And so I went in there, and I was talking with a couple of young boys came up to me and wanted to know who I was and what I was doing. And so I told them I was a journalist, and I said, "Well, who owns this poppy field?" And they said, "Oh, the chief of police."
Oh.
And so it just became obvious that at that point it became clear to me that the poppies were a significant part of the Afghan economy there, and that the growing and the sales of poppies and opium gum as it's produced and then eventually turned into heroin, it's all controlled by the power structure there in Afghanistan. And
right.
The U.S. is, by what we've been doing there for the last 10, 15 years, a little more than 10 years, is we've been supporting the power structure, which is extremely corrupt. And we've done nothing to curtail the poppy trade, which is the primary source of income for a lot of wealthy Afghans.
Well, the Taliban had outlawed poppy production, and then when we went back, we had nothing whatsoever to do with it. When the U.S. government, very controlled U.S. government, sent military forces into Afghanistan, they reinstated the poppy production, reinstated the growers, and of course they've paid off local people who are certainly have jurisdiction over the fields. But I think it's the international drug trade that actually benefits.
Yeah, Yeah, you're right. I mean, the international drug trade is alive and well there. And when I went back for my second year there in 2010, as part of that, I was down in the southern province of Helmand, which is the second only. Well, I don't know. I think it's the leading province, but it's very close to Kandahar, which is next door to it, the Kandahar province, in terms of growing poppies. And I was there at the poppy harvest time, which is in April. It's in the spring. Mm-hmm. And the Taliban was deeply entrenched throughout Helmand and Kandahar province, and part of the reason for that is that they tend to control and significant portions of the opium trade there, and they the trade is I was very I spent a lot of time talking to one of the to a number of people in Helmand province, and there's very well established drug trade routes going in all directions out. One of the major ones from the south is to the west of Afghanistan, is through Iran. And at the time, just as I was leaving there, the U.S. had named a high-ranking general or high-ranking officer in the Iranian army as one of the key people that was transporting a lot of this opium out of Afghanistan and through Iran and up into Russia and Europe.
Right, because, the international drug trade is international, and so they have to work with people adjacent to the country that's growing all the poppies.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that the people in Afghanistan should be growing crops that actually feed them and are productive, instead of a cash crop. And it reminds me of China, which you already mentioned, that the same thing happened in China with the earlier opium wars, where the Brits actually forced them to grow opium, and several million people died. So is that happening in Afghanistan? Are people starving?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting situation. A lot of the people that I spoke to who were growing poppies there said that they were doing so because they were forced to by economics. That, like, a lot of them weren't strictly growing poppies. They were growing poppies and wheat and other products. And the sale of poppies was the primary cash crop for them, and they needed it. And the Taliban, to a large extent, was controlling. They were the primary buyers. In fact, if you it's very complicated. But some of these farmers were forced to sell to the Taliban, and otherwise they'd be killed. But on the other hand, they were also saying that the Taliban was actually paying slightly above market rates. So there wasn't a lot of complaints about selling to the Taliban.
Right. And, if the Taliban didn't want to grow poppies before because it's against their religion, has the composition of the Taliban changed since the U.S. government came in?
Well, see, that's one of the things I write about, is that, we've went there to theoretically, suppress terrorism, and at the time it pushed the Taliban out. And for the past, 11 years, we've been fighting the Taliban, and rather than the Taliban, getting weaker, they've actually gotten stronger, and they're probably stronger now than they ever were.
Wow, just imagine a bunch of people like that being stronger than the U.S. military. Sounds suspicious to me. Alrighty, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Music. Michael Anthony's Private Stock. Your source for all natural, high quality, affordable, energizing, rejuvenating, powerful, healing herbal formulas. Hi, I'm Michael Anthony. Over 25 years ago, I designed my own line of herbal formulas to serve as allies in defending the body's health and well-being. My product line is a complete arsenal of protection. To find out more about my exclusive formulas, call 845-231-1094, 845-231-1094, or email michaelanthonysprivatestock@yahoo.com. Michael Anthony's exclusive herbal formulas.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
How important is the air we breathe? Our air purifiers are made with a patent process called Aeron. Aeron is different from ozone. Aeron does not create oxides of nitrogen like other ozone machines. Unlike any air purifiers out there, the Aeron generator adds additional energy, creating higher forms of oxygen. And when the Aeron molecule comes in contact with pollution, the pollution is quickly oxidized. These higher forms of energized oxygen have more power to oxidize pollutants, removing dust, pollen, mold, and other particles from the air, destroying chemical fumes and toxic gases, kills mold, mildew, fungi, and kills many viruses and bacteria in the air and on surfaces for a healthier, cleaner environment. Visit our website, republicbroadcasting.org. That's republicbroadcasting.org. Just click on our online store or call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Be prepared. How important is the air we breathe?
Today is Peter Eichstadt, and prior to 1967, Islamic fundamentalism was a relatively small movement, and Osama bin Laden was supported by the CIA and headed the Al-Qaeda network, which was part of a CIA operation after the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan in 1979. By 1984, the CIA supplied textbooks for Afghan students through USAID, a CIA front group that was headed out of the University of Nebraska, and that university directed the writing of those textbooks, which essentially created a group of students who hated the West and were very militant. So this operation, this government operation behind USAID, actually created a population of students who were anti-West and were militant.
Yeah, what's interesting is that the we haven't been able to. I mean, for the first few years after the invasion in 2001, the Taliban was pretty much in regression. And but what happened is when the U.S. Decided to invade Iraq, tremendous, you know, the vast majority of military resources were diverted from Afghanistan. And what we ended up doing was essentially putting Afghanistan in kind of a, at least the military effort there, in a holding pattern for quite a number of years. And starting in, 2006 and 2007, the Taliban launched a comeback. And they were very methodical about this and just did it bit by bit by bit. And part of it was that the number of resources that, you know, were being applied in Afghanistan were minimal. And what happened is when we finally wound down the war in Iraq, and Obama attempted to reverse the course of the direction of the war in Afghanistan by putting in what his so-called surge, it was basically too late. The Taliban had already gained the upper hand. And, one of the things that's never reported there is, I traveled throughout the country, in interviewing, just average Afghans all over the country, in every corner of the country. And one of the things that's never discussed there is exactly how dangerous it is to travel there. And the reason, especially now, the reason is that, the Afghan government and U.S. forces that back them have lost virtual control of, 70 to 80% of the country. It's all under the control of Taliban. The only thing that's really controlled by international forces at this point are major urban areas. And even that is questionable because of the high number of bombings or suicide bombings that have occurred, which illustrates, the Taliban and anti-Afghan, elements, conduct these dramatic suicide bombing attacks to show that the grasp of, the Kabul government and the which is backed by U.S. forces is very, very tenuous. And this is, if you ask anybody this who lives and works there, they'll tell you the same thing. I mean, it's very, very dangerous to travel outside urban areas. And, the U.S., the military and the diplomatic corps don't talk about this fact. And I don't know, I encountered this again and again and again on my travels, and the reason I was able to do it was that I was working with some very well-connected Afghan journalists who were in communication with the Taliban and could set up basically safe routes and places where I could go and talk to people that wouldn't put me in extreme danger.
Okay, you said that you wanted to talk about how the people had been impacted by this invasion and what their lives were like before the U.S. military invaded and what they're like now.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm sure you're well aware that the reason the Taliban came into power in 1996 was because the country had descended into a very vicious civil war after the Soviet Union withdrew from Afghanistan in 1989. And the following five or six years were just incredibly brutal and bloody. And that's, people were so sick of it, that's what gave rise to the Taliban.
We do have to go to a break, Peter. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural organic and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. Heartandbody.com.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Are you facing foreclosure? Worried about late payments? Fight back and stay in your home. Zero Debt Guaranteed can help. We'll send you a free ebook just for calling 800-477-9256. Or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Get the details on how to remove your risk to your debt. And so important to many homeowners today, how to stop foreclosure.
Forget loan modification.
The Zero Debt in 90 Days system can show you how to get the bank to pay your property taxes and insurance while stopping your foreclosure.
Without paying one dime.
You can take control. Stop foreclosure. Protect your cash, assets, wages, property, and sleep peacefully at night.
We've been helping people for over 18 years.
Call Zero Debt Guaranteed, 800-477-9256. Ask for free information, no obligation. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com now.
This is Deanna, and our guest today is Peter Eichstadt. His websites are petereichstadt.com and petereichstadt.blogspot.com. We were talking about the Afghani people and how things changed. And you mentioned that that the Taliban took over in 1996, trying to get the country back or what? Because we had basically been over there as part of the operation with the Soviet Union, and as much as the CIA had an operation over there that was headed by Osama bin Laden. So we have been engaged, or the United States military and or the CIA has been engaged in Afghanistan for some time, since 1979. And so I mean, these people have had an onslaught of foreigners interrupting their lives for quite some time. And, of course, this is not the first time that Afghanistan has been the target of war, when you consider that the Brits went in there quite a bit earlier.
Yeah, that's one of the things that's it was hard for me to forget, which I, of course, couldn't forget, is that Afghanistan is called the graveyard of empires. And the reason it's called that is because so many other world powers have gone in and fought there, you know, the Brits in particular, and, of course, then the former Soviet Union, and now the United States. And I had some very, well-informed and educated Afghans described to me in detail the parallels between the Soviet occupation there, which was also 10 years, and the U.S. occupation, and how we're going about our withdrawal, that the parallels are just really, really spooky. And that's why a lot of people are convinced that once we do withdraw, the country is going to descend into another, yet another bloody civil war.
Do you think that there is going to be a withdrawal? I know that we've built 14 military bases in Iraq, and I'm certain that we've probably built bases in Afghanistan. And if there's resources there, there's probably U.S. military bases there. And aren't those military bases kind of making a circle right around Iran?
Yeah, well, that's what's puzzling about it. You know, the latest information I was seeing that's being made public was that the U.S. was thinking of drawing or withdrawing its forces down to anywhere between 6 and 20,000. And, you know, apparently, you know, when I was there, the U.S. was building up. It has a very huge base, as we know, north of Kabul in a place called Bagram, which is quite often in the news. But we've also built a large base in the southern province of Kandahar. We're in the process of building one in the western province. It's right, it's about 100 miles from the border of Iran in Helmand or in Herat province. And then there's a one in the north at a town called Mazar-e Sharif. So there's four major bases in addition to Kabul where we've invested a huge amount of infrastructure and money. And
so
I can't imagine us leaving that, you know, to...
Exactly.
So I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, in terms of just looking at, you know, available facts without conjecturing too much, it's hard for me to, you know, really determine what the real policy of the U.S. is. I don't think it makes any sense, having spent all the time and money and, you know, shed all the blood that we've shed in Afghanistan. To me, it makes absolutely no sense to just pull up stakes and walk away. If we would do that, we would certainly condemn Afghanistan, I think, to another civil war. And we may be in that situation anyway, especially if we draw down the troops to such a low level.
Well, I think that probably the Japanese and the Germans and the Koreans and a lot of other countries are still waiting for the U.S. military to withdraw. And we haven't thus far. And I think that the military will remain there to protect the assets. But the question is, who are we protecting these assets for? Now, you mentioned the one mine that was now being worked by the Chinese. Mm-hmm. And so when you think of all the production facilities that have moved to China from the U.S., then you have to wonder what kind of a deal is going on here. This seems to be that we are part of an international conglomerate, or an international cabal. Probably a cabal is more accurate.
Cabal.
And
I like that word.
It's really about capturing the resources of the earth for the elite.
Like I tell you, it's one of the most frustrating things that I had to deal with was trying to come to some kind of understanding about, you know, why the United States, U.S. companies weren't more actively involved in this, you know, in the last couple of years I was there. There were, you know, the Afghan government was putting all their mineral resources up to bid, and there were very few. I mean, I was looking at the number. I mean, I was there at the minerals at the Department of Government there that you know, that puts all these resources up for bid, and that, you know, the contracts were not going to what appeared to be any companies that had anything to do with the U.S. And like I said, the largest. One of the world's largest coal or copper mines that is there southeast of Kabul, and that was controlled by the Chinese. And I know that because I went to the site and I had to go through a Chinese camp and in order to get to the actual mine site. So there was, and there was Chinese military there, but they certainly weren't any kind of any active military posture. They were simply defending the perimeter of this was going to be the headquarters of the mine. Now, the vast number of iron ore resources, which are huge, in the central north central part of the country, were going to were divided. One was between one of the major bidders was a Canadian company, which I'm sure has some links with U.S. companies. But then the other, even larger bidder, one that won the bid was an Indian company. Now the Indian company was is a quasi-governmental entity with that also involved private companies from India. So, and then after I left, there were a number of other sites, also copper, gold, were also issued to put up for bid. But I'm not sure. I haven't checked in to see exactly how those bids came down. Another resource in the north is natural gas and oil, and that was issued actually to a company that was controlled. It was a joint partnership between two of Karzai's relatives, one of whom was his brother, and a Chinese company. So.
And of course, the US,
I don't know. I don't understand it. I don't get it.
The U.S. government is the one that installed Karzai to begin with. So he was installed to sell out the resources of his country to the highest bidder. And when you look at the composition of corporations now, they are multinational. To the point that we really don't know whether, all right, they may have their headquarters in China because of the environmental laws there are not as strict as they are in the United States. But you have to wonder, okay, who owns those corporations that are going in, despite whether they are in China or India or wherever, who owns those corporations and who is taking over the resources of the earth using the U.S. military to get rid of any opposition within the country in what people now call insurgents. Insurgents are really people who live in a country, their own country, and would probably like to benefit from the resources that are in that country.
Yeah, well, see, that gets back to one of the issues that I bring up in my book is that, you know, the people of Afghanistan really haven't benefited from, you know, these past 11 going on 12 years of war. When we first went in 2001, when I was there in 2004, which was 3 years later, there was a tremendous amount of excitement and enthusiasm because Afghans finally felt like their lives, their country and their lives were not only free of the control of the repressive Taliban, but they were, the religious, the people, religious Taliban, but they felt like they were finally had turned the corner. This is going to be an opportunity where after all these years of war and civil war that finally, the Afghans would be able to enjoy a higher standard of living. Their country would be at peace. Their children could become educated. The economy would pick up. People could have jobs and live what everybody wants to do, which is a relatively normal life. And after 11 years of war, I found nobody there, after interviewing, like I said, people in all corners of the country, nobody there was enthusiastic or happy about what had happened.
Right. They were probably initially listening to the U.S. media spin, which we were being told the same thing, how they were going to go in, and the women wouldn't have to wear burqas anymore. Well,
who
cares whether they do or don't wear burqas in Afghanistan? The point is that the people should be able to develop their country with assistance, not with warfare. The U.S. military going in and killing a bunch of them.
And that's exactly what I write is that, and I discuss in there, but I do this with from the point of view. and with the, you know, extensive quotes from the Afghan people, is that they haven't, you know, they've borne the brunt of war here, and they haven't received any of the benefits. You know, there's only this cabal, is to use your word, of the Karzai administration, which is this fairly tight but also fairly large circle of people who have been able to benefit from it, from the 10 years of war. And the average person, that's why a lot of them are drifting back toward the Taliban, is that after 12 years, their family and friends have died, have been killed, either by collateral damage or from the Taliban or Taliban clashes. Villages have been bombed. They're tired of it. And they're saying, well, if the U.S. and international community isn't going to help us, then maybe we'll have to go back to the Taliban. Maybe they will. And, of course, the Taliban is smart. They're capitalizing on this frustration, you know, in a very big way. And, the Afghan people are really kind of caught in the middle. They've been pawns in a larger war.
Right. I guess there's a 1% in Afghanistan, just as there is a 1% here in the United States. And it's always those people at the top that benefit. And the Afghan people, they are without health care. There's all sorts of terrible, terrible birth defects as a result of the depleted uranium that the U.S. government has sprinkled all over and, you know, with their weapons. And even the military, the U.S. military, are subject to these terrible birth defects when they come back. If they come back and they have children, many of those children are looking just about like the poor souls that are born in hospitals in Afghanistan.
Yeah, it's been they've had to bear the brunt of, like I said, of the war, and they're sick of it. You know, they're supporting. One of the ways the Taliban reaches, the average person there is they're saying, is your life better off than when the United States or the international community came? No, is the answer. And they say, well, let's get rid of these people and let's take our country back and let's do it ourselves. And this message is resonating pretty strongly with the Afghans. They're just tired, even though they know that the Taliban in the past has been a very repressive, they don't know where else to turn. You know, we really haven't, the international community, if we have any ideas of leaving Afghanistan in a better place, that's impossible at this point because we have not given the Afghan people an alternative. We haven't helped them really improve their lives. You know, we've conducted a war over there. We've been fighting. We conducted a surge that was supposed to turn the war around. It didn't. And now, like one of my chapters, one of the phrases that the Taliban is using, and I got this from one of my close Afghan friends who lives in a remote village, and he provided me a tremendous amount of insights into how the Taliban operates. But one of their key phrases is, they tell the international community, it says, you have the watches, but we have the time. Mm-hmm. So all they're going to do is just wait out, the international community is going to get tired of having fought this war, and they're just going to wait for them to leave.
Right. I like you said, though, with all the bases that they've built, I don't think that the U.S. military is going to leave. I think that following World War II, that the U.S. military became the enforcement for the ruling elite in the world. And because look at the warfare that the U.S. military has been involved with since the end of World War II. I mean, you've got to talk about Korea, Vietnam. And you could say the same thing about Vietnam that you're saying about Afghanistan and about Iraq. Mm-hmm. What did we do in Vietnam? We went in, or we didn't. The U.S. military went in. 58,000 of them died. They killed 3 million, took over the resources of the country. A few people in Vietnam the top leaders who sold their country out are doing very well, and the rest of the people are living in poverty. You can say the same thing about the Philippines. And that started a long time ago.
It's just it's very frustrating situation. You know, since the U.S. has spent so much time and we shed so much blood in both countries, and to what end? You know, there's no, as far as I'm, you know, can see, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. There's no clear explanation. You know, we've perhaps put terrorism on its heels, but it's not the kind of thing that we've actually resolved in any kind of concrete way.
Right. Peter, we do have to go to a break. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE and colloidal silver, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system, and fire piston, or just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today. Toll free 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Call now 800-537-1339.
Wouldn't you agree? Healthy people are happier and more productive. Obesity is the root cause of many health problems. Do you want to lose weight safely, look sexy and attractive without side effects and no chemicals? Lose weight without the side effects safely with Zeno's Organic Dietary Supplements, made in the USA, 100% USDA certified organic. Visit www.zenos.com. That's www.zenohs.com. Try our products risk-free for a limited time offer. No purchase necessary. You only pay shipping and handling. Get your old, sexy body back now. Visit Zenos.com. Get your free supplements now. Visit Zenos.com right now. www.zenohs.com. That's www.zenohs.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Peter Eichstadt. His websites are petereichstadt.com and petereichstadt.blogspot.com. And if one believes the political and media spin, then of course we see repeated failure. But if the real objectives were to enrich multinational corporations, then those invasions have been spectacularly fruitful and successful. So if we're looking at the wrong objectives, if we're not too realistic in evaluating why the U.S. government is using the military forces for corporate riches, or to and remember that those corporations also pay a lot of the politicians, and and fund a lot of the politicians. Boy, my voice is not so good today.
Okay.
My allergies are kicking up. Right away, there were more than 70 American companies that won billions of dollars in contracts in post-war Iraq and Afghanistan. And so you have to think, okay, well, that was the objective. The objective wasn't to bring democracy to the people or to fight some illusionary war of terror or against terror, but it seems to be a war of terror. It seems that we're the ones that are the terrorists. If you look at it from their point of view, from the Afghani citizens' point of view.
Yeah, that's one of the frustrating things, you know, as an American citizen working there. You're exactly right. I mean, we had gone from being the great liberators, where people were just enthusiastic beyond belief that we had arrived and liberated them, you know, from the Taliban. We've gone from that incredibly positive point of view to being hated, you know, by the enemy. A lot of people view us now as the enemy, the cause of their problems, instead of the source of the solution. And that's what one of the things that pushed me to write the book was that I felt like this whole story wasn't being told by the media. In fact, if you read any of the major, well, you know, watch TV, the networks, cable, et cetera, et cetera. You never get any kind of interviews from actual Afghan people as to what they think about what's going on. It's just this this endless spin from the top that we're making progress, the war is on track, blah blah blah, and we're the Afghan people, the Afghan army is able to secure the country. I mean, it's complete nonsense. It's the exact opposite of what the reality is, and yet
right.
this is what the spin that comes out again and again and again.
Right, if they address it at all.
Exactly.
Right, yeah. The news here in Chicago last night, the biggest thing that was going on was that four people in downtown Chicago had their cell phones taken. Well, whoopee-doo. And so they were going to spend several minutes on the 10 o'clock news, which I don't stay up to listen to and wouldn't anyway. They were going to tell us how to protect our cell phones. Is that ridiculous or what?
Well, Chicago needs to know how to protect their lives there.
Exactly. All righty, we're going to our 60-second top of the hour break. We'll be right back after station ID.